Gary. Thank you, Adam, and good morning to each and every one of you and those. So I just wanted to start off this morning. If I'm seeming out of sorts, it's lack of sleep, and we had quite the exciting night last night. I appreciate the Lord and how he looks over his children in different ways. And last night, our daughter was in a car accident with Ethan. And we, that was, oh, it was about 10 o'clock at night when she was taking him home. And we got to stay cold for about 2.5 hours going through this whole ordeal. And, you know, everybody's okay. And it just never surprises me how the Lord tends to his children. And I'm thankful that, you know, I'm here today and that everybody's okay that was involved. But lessons be learned. And one of the lessons I learned is how the Lord makes burdens light. And planning on doing this sermon going into the week, I was thinking about this whole other of thought and stumble across this last night. I preached, I think it was 4 years ago, but I didn't have a PowerPoint or anything like that. So I decided to do a 2.0 version. Oh, it's cutting out. Okay. Oh, is this better? Yeah, you're good, Caleb. Thank you. And so, you know, it's interesting because I had a lot of deep thoughts. I was thinking about, you know, all the things that have transpired as of lately and how it's impacted all of our lives, how the Lord is with us. And I'm thankful for that. And we have this season to remember that. And our brother Jerry, I appreciated his sermon last week because he's excited about this time of the year. And I figured, well, this is my one and only opportunity before Christmas because I won't be able to preach this until next Christmas. If I start working on it, I'll have to wait. And so I wanted to do this because I appreciate how little things can make such a big impact on people's lives. And this is the story about the candy cane and how it evolved and what it's all about. I have some facts here and take it with a grain of salt, but I just find the overall story interesting, and I hope that you do. And one of the goals with this sermon is to, if anything, to remind us and to help us think about every time we have a candy cane or something that reflects a candy cane. They come in all different shapes and sizes and peppermint bark and flavors and at Starbucks and mochas and everything you can imagine. There's peppermint out there this time of the year. Well, I just want people to think about, you know, what the, when they look at that, what the meaning of Christ is, what Jesus is to them. And have this be a reminder to you to help you be able to know that in any place that you go, any time of the year, wherever you're at, that when you have an opportunity just to know that Jesus is with us, that his spirit is with us, that God is with his children. And so I thought it'd be good to share that. And I wanted to get started. I'm going to need a couple volunteers. So I'm going to ask Connor and Asher to come up here. And I actually brought a treat for everybody. So can you guys come up, please? And I'll give you each a box, and you can hand one of these out. And these are actually a little challenging to find nowadays. It's kind of interesting because I had to go to a couple different stores this morning to pick these up. And so here's a candy cane. If you don't, they're not sugar-free. So just like we're doing sacrament. Just, right? This is a different, kind of getting you guys prepared maybe in a way. But God willing. But, you know, if anything, that's the goal of this sermon, is to help you be able to think about these things and just to bring Christ into our lives even more so this time of the year. And I hope that this works and helps you be able to see those things. And when you're, you know, out and about, whether it's at a store, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's within your own home or a friend's house, if you see a candy cane, you know, think of Christ. Think about all the things that he gave for us. And so I'm going to read a few of the items that I picked up to kind of bring us to the start of this whole understanding of the candy cane. It says that legend has it that in 1670, the choir master at the Cologne Cathedral in Germany handed out sugar sticks among his young singers to keep them quiet during the long living crochet ceremony. In honor of the occasion, he had the candles bent into shepherd's crooks. In 1847, a German-Swedish immigrant named August Imgard of Wooster, Ohio, decorated a small blue spruce with paper ornaments and candy canes. It was until the turn of the century that the red and white stripes and peppermint flavors were the norm. In Indiana, a candy maker wanted to make, a candy maker wanted to make a candy that would be a reminder of Jesus Christ. So he made the Christmas candy cane. He started off with a stick of pure white hard candy. And that white hard candy symbolized the virgin birth and the sinless nature of Jesus. And the hardness of the candy symbolized the solid rock, which the foundation of the church and the firmness of the promises of God were built upon. So I find that interesting. So underneath all of what you see on the candy cane, there was a purpose to the origination of the candy cane, with being that solid white for the pureness of the virgin birth. And there's also the hardness of it that we all know we're structured and built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. And so it's really neat to somebody actually design, manufacture, put something together with that train of thought, with that thought process in mind. And so there's all these little details that go along with it. And as we're going to see, the candy cane, if you have it one way. And I just want to say that being familiar with PowerPoint is sometimes in its own way challenging to get things to do what you want to do. It takes time. And typically I spend a little bit more time working in the fine details, but time was cut short last night. And I hope that the plainness of this kind of represents the plainness and the beauty in Christ itself. So a lot of times I put a lot more pictures on it, pretty it up and all that stuff. But I like the plainness to this, even though it originally wasn't intended. And that's, you know, I was standing up and in our service this other week and talking about coincidence and how things work out under God's will. And, you know, by no means do I think things happen by coincidence anymore. I think it's how God works with us and directs us, and things work out when our hearts are open to him, work out to be able to show what a loving God he is and how he works with his children. And sometimes it's just so simple, and we just need to be open to allow him to guide, to direct us, and to show us what his intents are and not our own intentions. And when we do that, we see that love of God work within us and bring us joy and all those good things, the peace that comes with it, and how sweet it is in our life, pun intended. And so I'm going to move on. I just wanted to add that, inject that into this sermon that I'm giving to you guys, this PowerPoint. The letter J stands for Jesus, held upside down. It's important to us. This is the basis of everything that we believe. And we know that Christ came here. I'm going to read that in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to go to verses 26 through 33. But we know that he was given to us as a gift. And just like in this time of the year, just like in this season, there's so many things that we can give as a gift. Just like the demonstration of Bringing these pieces of candy here for you is a simple little monetary gift. But just like the Lord gave us the gift of his son, there's so much more that we could give as gifts. You know, our time, our efforts, our prayers, the kindness that's within us, the ability to lift and edify and admonish people. You know, there's so many things that the Lord puts within us that we have the free right to give. But I wanted us to see and to remind us of how all that evolved. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be of no end." And so we were given this child, and he was brought to us, and he's still with us, and he works within us. And his example that was set for us is our way to salvation. And I did a little bit of, so this letter J, the name Jesus, in Hebrew, it's Yehoshua, and which over time it became down to a shorter name to Yeshua and then Yahweh. And what his name means is the Lord is salvation. And so just this simple name means so much to all the world. This is our path to salvation, is through his name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if we see that, and if we know that, and if we can go that way to follow after that, all the things that we can experience in life and see and share is a blessing to us and to others. And so we have to follow after him. And so we flipped the candy cane, which took about 10 minutes to do in my PowerPoint. So it was challenging. Actually, it was the J. I had to flip the candy cane and flip it this way to make the J, but this is how it originally came. But we follow after him, and this is where we talk about the shepherd's staff, how the designer of this piece of candy, and I won't lay claim that it was him originally. I think this story evolved, and I couldn't find any hard fact that this is the time, this is the place, this is the person, this is the patent for this piece of candy. But, you know, we'll go with it. But I like the idea of it representing the shepherd's staff, because we know that he chose to make the candy in the shape of a shepherd's staff. Jesus is our shepherd and we are his followers. We know that in any flock of sheep that the shepherd is critical to the wellness and the safety of those sheep. Brother Gordon preached a wonderful sermon about that in The Voice of the Shepherd. I believe it's after your travels, was it to Scotland? Yeah, it was to Scotland, and I always remembered that. And how excited Gordon was with describing, you know, being able to see the practicality of the importance of the shepherd and what his role is. And it's so important for us to remember that and to know that the shepherd, Jesus, is there to be able to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, and to help us. But we have to hearken to his voice. And I wanted to read in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. It says, "Verily," this is Christ, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into this sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto him. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so I truly believe that, you know, Christ is calling out to each and every one of us. He works within our hearts each and every day. I think that you find safety in numbers in our brother's opening prayer. You know, he finds joy, and I as well find joy being among my brothers and sisters. And we know that Christ cares for his children. He cares for his flock. There's the support there. The importance in numbers. There's the ability to be able to understand and to learn and to grow through the environment that we're in and from those that are around us. So God provides all these things if we are willing to be open and to follow after him. And we know that, you know, this path was set. He did those tough things throughout his life to prove and to be an example and to show us that there is a way, there is a path through him. But we also know that he had to suffer. He had to suffer through so many things. And that's why I think and I look at a lot of times about at difficult trials that we go through, the experiences that people have to deal with, the hardships and stuff of that nature, and how when we have Christ in our lives, how even so it is so difficult that he helps us through it. He helps us be strong. He makes us stronger when we're weak. And so we know that he did all these things. He took all the sins of the world and placed it upon his shoulders. We know that he was that he suffered, he bled, and he died for us. We just remembered that the other week, to be able to partake of and remember what he did for his children as the shepherd. How he did that to be able to help us, to protect us, to care for us, to nurture us. And it's important that we remember that. So, you know, in doing so, he took upon himself the stripes that through his trials. And the red stripes were added to the candy as a representation of the crucifixion and the blood of Jesus shed for our sins. You know, this is one of the things that he took upon himself for us to be able to have that salvation in our lives. And I wanted to read out of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 5. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And he was hid as it was our faces, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so that's the purpose of these red stripes being on the candy, is for us to remember that with his stripes we were healed. And we know that his arm is stretched out to us at any given time. Whenever we need him, we could call upon him. He listens to his children. He has that desire for us to be drawn to him. He wants us to reach out to him. There are so many sweet things that we receive, and as that constant reminder from the sugar and the sweetness that we get out of this candy, you know, as we partake of these things, this little enjoyment in life, think about those things that he went through and how much enjoyment we have through him because of what he gave. And so with that, you have the white stripes as well. So you also have the white stripes mingled in there. And that represents the holiness and purity of Christ, who was sinless. And just like the candy, how it originated from the virgin birth, and it was solid white, and they added these things to it. You know, he grew up through his life, through all these trials, through all these difficulties, and the white stripes on here represent that he overcame, that he conquered sin, that he was there, and he experienced those things, and he went through those difficulties just for us. And, you know, we know that in our lives, we have difficulties that Satan puts in front of us, that wants us to stumble on, that wants to beat us down with. But we know that through Christ, we can overcome. And it says in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses, I have 1 through 5, but it looks like I have 5 through 7. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So we have to make those decisions. We have to make those choices in our life to follow after him. And all those things that come with that, I want to call them benefits, but they're blessings. All the blessings that we receive with that, and how our lives change, how we perceive things, how we look forward to the future, how we see everything that's around us, how it has a different effect upon our emotions, upon our heart, upon our train of thought, how we become engulfed in the love of God and let it work in us and through us to be humble and to be able to walk in this world doing things that are fruitful to God, knowing that the adversary is not going to be able to overcome us, that God did these things, and he constantly gives us reminders all the time about all those things that we experience, our friends and our family experience, to help us and to guide us and to lift us up when the trials are tough. And it also says in chapter 2 of 1 John, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And so, you know, sometimes the simplicity of life and keeping the commandments can be so difficult. But at the same time, we have that opportunity to follow after God. To look and to see these things that he has done, that he has accomplished, and that he put before us so that we can understand and learn and know the way. But we know that, and I am so thankful that he gives us that reminder that we come and that we appreciate and that we show reverence to once a month, and that's for his broken body. And a lot of times, I'm looking right here, right now in the box, how many times do you get candy canes that are already broken up? It's, you know, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. You know, if we look at these things, you know, is it a coincidence that, you know, that should be a representation of God's body? It's your perception on it. I look at those things, and when I look at candy canes now, and if they're broken, this is something that I think about. You know, you got the letter J for Jesus, you got the shepherd's staff, and I got a broken one. That was the last three in this box. You know, let it be a coincidence, but in my heart, I know from here on out that when I look at a broken candy cane, I think about the broken body of Christ. And so that's what this represents. And this is a representation also of when he was crucified. And so we know that Jesus gave his body for us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that he, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So just as we partake of the sacrament from that bread that was broke, you know, remember those things. If you get a broken candy cane, that this was God and his body was being broke for us. And it says, "After the same manner, also he took of the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And I'm thankful for that, because we do that once a month. We have that opportunity to always come humbly, worshiping God and knowing that this is something special for his children. Think about those things, all those special things. You know, it's like, how excited do we get when we wake up, when we were kids, but even when we're adults, we get to open presents because it's something special that we appreciate once a year. But think about all those things that could be opened up in your life and how special they are if you have God enter into it. It's like a gift that he's giving to us that never ends. It's a daily gift. It's every moment of our lives. And we just need to understand that when we walk with him, when we let him work within us, that all these special things happen in our lives and that we become so much more appreciative for that gift in which he has given for us. And we have that opportunity. He's always there allowing us to have that opportunity to enter into his fold. And it says in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And we know, and the prophets speak of it, the scriptures speak of it, that the Lord is going to return. So think about those things. Think about the things that you can do as part of the body of Christ to have that opportunity to be able to serve, to be able to share, and to understand all the sacrifices that were made. And the requirements are so little, but yet we look at those things and sometimes it seems like so much. But again, when we have Christ in our lives, when we have God working within us, he makes those burdens light. And so the next one is the sweet-smelling Savior. So the sweet fragrance of Christ. Peppermint was the flavor that the candy maker chose for the candy cane. Peppermint was very similar to hyssop, which was used for sacrifice and purification, reminding us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It reminds us of the spices brought by the wise men as well when they came to visit Jesus. And so peppermint, you know, I was like, oh boy, how am I going to work this one in? Well, you know, just like we have monetary things that hold a lot of value to us in this life, such as our currency, gold, silver, all those things, spices, herbs, things of that nature were of value back then. And I started looking up and I wanted to give some of the examples. Just this isn't hyssop, this is peppermint, because that's kind of what we're relating to in this PowerPoint, in this sermon. There's a lot of benefits to that. there's your digestive conditions. It actually is known to cure hiccups and all these other intestinal issues. Infections, relief to headaches, and it actually, believe it or not, it'll give you fresh breath. So when you eat a candy cane or eat peppermint, it actually freshens your breath, as we all know, just like spearmint as well. But it can open up your sinuses because of the oils in it. When they're released, it's almost like a vapor that opens up your sinuses. And it actually provides energy as well. We know that they use peppermint in a lot of teas, and that actually helps reduce overall fatigue. It wakens you up. It gives you energy. And at the same time, the oils, we know that there was incense and stuff of that nature. When you burn the oil, it improves your sleep. It brings that calmness, that ease within to you. And so, you know, it's something that I appreciate that much more. I like peppermint a lot, and not so much in my coffee, but I'm starting to like it a little bit now. But you just look at the usage of peppermint throughout our societies. You know, it's in everything. It's seasonal. It's in our toothpaste that we use every day. There's an importance to it. And just like, I'm sorry. Did I do that? I did. I jumped that. And just like, you know, in our time and the purpose in it, I believe it was even much more so with hyssop and frankincense, of those types of herbs and incense that were important to them back then. They had a lot of value. And I wanted to read in Psalms chapter 51, verses 7 through 10. It says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And you know, there's that freshness that when we brush our teeth, there's that freshness that helps and invigorates us in the mornings or at night, and it helps us be able to feel clean. And just like with hyssop, you know, if we invite God into our lives, He will wash us clean of our sins when we decide and hopefully enter into those waters of baptism. There's that avenue to do that. We will be cleansed of our sins through Christ. And so it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And I like how they draw that comparison there. You know, this is a sacrifice that was giving for a sweet-smelling Savior. Those are something, you know, how we have our emotions can change, and we can be awakened through things that smell good, that have that really good perfume odor to them that can help and invigorate us in our lives. And God is that for us, and His love is there for us to be able to enjoy and to be able to share with others. And so the love of Christ, it was also made to be given as a gift. So just like as we gave out the candy canes when we started here, you know, the candy canes are made to be given as a gift. Just like the gift of God's Son was given to us, and how that is something so precious that none other can give a gift of that nature. And it's that gift of salvation, that opportunity to be able to spend eternity with God. And you know, are we willing to receive it? And one of the things I always think about giving is the hand stretched out when we're giving. We're opened up. And when we're giving somebody, it's there and they can take it. And at the same time, when you're open and you're giving, you can also receive as well. You're opened up. Your heart's open to God. But we just have to be willing to do that. We have to have that desire and to understand that God is there to help us be able to give, to help us be able to have charity, to help us be able to have strength to stand up and to give a testimony, to be able to go spend time with somebody, somebody that's close to us, somebody that we may not even be close to, but somebody that's close to us may be close to that person, and we're supporting them because of whatever the case may be, whatever the issue that they're maybe, and just remembering our brothers and sisters and those that they come in contact with and tend to and work with the Spirit of Christ, that we lift them up as well, that we give that gift of our charity to others, even though it's not in our own little world, in our own personal environment, but it may be something that is tied to us through one or two individuals. We still have that opportunity to give. And in Titus chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses there, 11 through 14. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." So think about those things. Even if it's something simple as giving a little gift, hopefully it's not so much a monetary thing, but something that you could give that you have within inside yourself, that you can speak, that you can show, that you can demonstrate, that you can be able to provide those types of gifts that the Lord puts within us, those talents that we have, the capabilities. Don't let anxiety, don't let fear, frustration, and those things get in the way. Open yourself up, share that with others. Let it be a gift from God, and you will see the joy in that. You will see how it lifts you up every day. You will be enlightened by it, and God will open your eyes. He'll open your ears, and most importantly, he'll open your heart, and you'll be able to understand these things more and more so as you go through life and appreciate how God works with his children, how he cares for us, and how, if we're in his fold, he has everything structured and organized and designed for the benefit of his children, and for the benefit of all those that desire to come to Christ. So I have this here. I was talking to Trish about this morning. I know this is kind of commercialized, but I just kind of found that it fit in this. And Jesus is the reason for the season. And, you know, I have a friend that no longer works with me at City of Phoenix. This reminds me of a friend that I have there. His name is Matt. And he moved on. He's working in Maricopa now. And he always used to say this. He loved Christmas. He would decorate his office and all that. He was Jesus. He was Christian. He's Christian. Jesus is the reason for the season. He was really, you know, he had a lot of joy in his heart. And, you know, I always think about him when I see this. So I just want everybody to know and to understand that, you know, there's so much opportunity to give. Don't let it all be monetary. Don't think that these things of in our temporal life are of so much value when God gives us so many more things that far exceed the value of any type of monetary item that you can acquire or give. Give of yourself. Give that which is in your heart. And again, just remember that, you know, it's neat to see the little things and what an impact they can make in people's lives, and how such a little thing can have so much importance and mean so much to somebody. So the little things that you have in your life, please share those with others, because somebody else may hold them of so much value and of so much importance because of an experience you had, or some knowledge that you have in something. So give of those things. And may God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful day. And I hope that you have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you.